welcome to Candid Frank Live. It's Friday night free for all time.
Wow.
That's a big story out there. Yes, it is. Oh, boy, is it ever. But do you know what I'm talking about? What do you think is the biggest story out there in sports right now? Truthfully, what do you think it is? I'm waiting. Come on. The phone number is 714-242-5250. What is the biggest story out there in sports? All right, you don't want to make a contribution, I'll tell you anyway. The biggest news in sports right now is that Canada's tennis Davis Cup team has made it to the semifinals. Milos Raonic has carried that team on his shoulder, defeating the Italians, and now they're moving on to the Serbians. This is an incredible story, and the biggest reason why it's an incredible story is that almost 200 countries compete for this thing. As big as hockey is, as big as football is, as big as everything including soccer is, tennis is almost as big. And our Canadian players have made it to the semi-final. Now, to give you an indication of how monumental a thing that they have done is, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to meet the team to beat the U.S. That's right. The U.S., the same country that hands us too many defeats on the men and women's side in hockey, junior, professional, Olympic, you name it. We, that is those that wear the proud maple leaf, are one of four teams left that will lay claim to being a real world champion. Now, we in Canada, and that's why hockey doesn't say when they win the Stanley Cup, they're a world champion. Because we Canadians are a little more modest than the Americans. You'll notice that every sport the Americans have, football, baseball, are referred to at the championship as the world champions. And I think you can include basketball in that as well. But in reality, this sport right here, tennis, is one that is international in scope. And Canadians are showing them how it's done. And Milos, I paid honor and homage to him throughout this program, as many know. And I have the utmost respect for him. Someday I hope to even talk to him. But it'll probably only if I run into him or something. And get him on the show here might be a little difficult. He's a big star, you know. Don't you know? And Even though I still have mucho honor for him, I want to thank him and the Canadian tennis players for bringing such a glorious... I mean, if you were there in BC watching this tennis match, you would be amazed at the excitement at the University of British Columbia. The Thornhill, Ontario native, my gosh, were his serves incredible. I think they were going 1,000 miles an hour. Whoosh, there were vapor trails, man. I don't even know how how anyone can return those serves. The guy's amazing. He has such power in his serve. If you can't break his serve, he's going to win. So, Milos Raonic wins a tennis match, which turns the Davis Cup semifinal berth Canadian. Well, those games are scheduled in September. And Canada will be meeting, as I said, Serbia. And Serbia are the ones that eliminated the United States in Boise, Idaho. 3-2. Close, but still, Serbia won. Now, someone should check Milos Raonic's background, because you might get a little surprise about where he's from. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, know what I mean? So, it's going to be an incredible, it's just going to be incredible. So the four teams that are left, four countries I guess I should say, are Serbia, Argentina, the defending champion Czech Republic, and Argentina. So it's going to be interesting. I know I'll be watching. So what we've got now is a wonderful opportunity for Canada to enter into another step unheard of by Canadian teams. And that is the semifinal berth. We won't talk about the next round. Right now, keep your eye on the prize. The Canadian players, I believe, will be ready for that. They have a host of great players on that team. And they will, I believe, persevere. And for those of you that love the game of tennis, I'll tell you, you're in for a treat. One thing's for sure, it's going to be a battle. Serbia is, a small country that really loves tennis. Many of the former Eastern Bloc countries are very sports-minded, and they play well in many sports, as we know with hockey and tennis, obviously. Even soccer, their countries compete far better than ours do. But I'm hoping that Soccer Canada will clean up their act and, do something good. You know, it's not like we don't have the finances to compete. Tennis Canada just proved it. Tennis Canada does not have any more money to run their organization than Soccer Canada does. And I guess the leader of all that is Hockey Canada. So it's just amazing what they've done in the Davis Cup. Now, in 2003, we were all at Twitter, before even Twitter was a big deal, over a kid. Well, I shouldn't call him a kid. So 10 years ago, Mike Weir donned the green jacket of the Masters with the assistance of the previous year winner. That's right, Tiger Woods. I remember that year, and I remember that event. It was unbelievable. And you can't think of a nicer guy to come up with a bigger victory for the Canadians. Mike Weir. Mike, congratulations on that. And I haven't forgotten. And it was a thrill that weekend. That weekend was a monumental thrill. Even my kids, who were young teenagers, wanted to know who Mike Weir was, wanted to watch the tennis. We Canadians support our players, especially when they play well. I don't know if it's fair to say that we turn on them when they get a little behind the eight ball, but all one has to do in my age group is to remember Phil Esposito standing on a rink in BC in 1972 to get an indication of not everybody at least at that time, thought that Canadian fans and media were supportive of Canadian sports. And in that year in particular, Team Canada competing with the Russians. But Mike Weir, thank you for a great moment 10 years ago. And one day ago, the great moment by the tennis folks, the men's tennis Davis Cup team. I'm still picturing Milos and those drives. Incredible. If you did not see it, you missed quite a bit. You really did. On the subject of the Masters, we are all aware that Tiger Woods was leading, and now he isn't. And the leader is Jason Day. The amazing thing is, a young Chinese lad, and when I say young, the youngest ever to participate in the Masters, unbelievable. Guan became the youngest player to make the cut in PGA Tour history. Even though he took a one-stroke penalty on the 17th hole for slow play. Obviously, he's a deep thinker. Now, he also was the youngest player to be playing period before he made the cut. So, Chen Lang, incredible story, 14-year-old kid. Well, Tiger had some difficulties in the late holes. And, there's a lot of stuff being said about Tiger and the fact that he's being so successful now and people are starting to forget what happened before. Discussion about his ski. His ski girlfriend. I'm just thinking of the comments about ski poles and stuff, if he misbehaves. He's taken a hit. And, you know, I have to say, deservedly so. Tiger was never known as a friendly guy. Tiger isn't the kind of guy that, you know, shakes your hand with a full grip. He's a soft handshaker. And some think of that as being disrespectful. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But the fact remains, he's a great player. We'll see if he'll be able to come back and take over the lead. But good luck to Jason Day. He's the leader going in tomorrow. We'll see what happens with him. Guantin Yan Lang. Well, that kid, he's not a little guy either. He's fairly tall. So, you know, as far as his physical being is concerned, I don't think it hinders his play. And that's amazing because Tiger, historically, was a wonderful player at that time as well. I remember seeing him on the Johnny Carson show when he was like 8. And goodness gracious. And anybody who knows Johnny Carson, remembers Johnny Carson, his big thing was his golf swing as part of his opening. So, Jason Day leads the Masters. A 14-year-old makes a big deal at the Masters. And it's a good year for golf. Now, there was some concern moving over to the... No, let's not do the CFL yet. Let's go to hockey. So now the word is out. Joffrey Lupul has a concussion. Did any of us doubt the fact that he had a concussion? Was it something that we all doubted, that we didn't believe was a fact? No, we all know that. We all believe that he had a concussion, upper body injury anyway. Speaking of injuries, Craig Anderson's back in net. And they shut out the Devils. 2-0 tonight. Good for Ottawa. They really need to clean up their act. I mean, let's put it simply. They were a team with plenty of injuries and still were winning hockey games until recently. I don't know, coincidentally, it was a game against the Leafs, I think, about 2 Saturdays ago. They lost that game to Toronto, and they seem to take a nosedive ever since. Well, they've recovered enough to maintain a close proximity to the Leafs, holding the fifth spot, 3 points behind. Tied with the New York Islanders. More about them in a second. Who have played one more game. And 2 points ahead of the Rangers, who beat the Leafs earlier this week. Equaling games with Ottawa. Now, Winnipeg has played 2 more games than the Rangers and are tied with the Rangers right now. And then you have New Jersey at 40 points. So New Jersey is 10th, and they are 9 points behind Toronto, giving Toronto a chance now to at least believe that every win now just guarantees a playoff spot. They go 500 the rest of the way. They'll finish in 5th, and then it'll be a battle between Boston and Montreal to determine the loser of that battle playing the Maple Leafs. As you may or very well know, that the 4th slot is held by Boston and Montreal, depending on who is ahead in the standings. So, Boston is a mere point behind Montreal. If Boston finishes first, the Leafs play Montreal. If Montreal finishes first, the Leafs play Boston. I said more about the Islanders. The Islanders are a team that are developing and have been developing. You know, they have played well at the end of the year, every year. They've been a tough team for Toronto to beat. They have the youth. And now it appears they may have the goaltending, which is a priority in making the playoffs and doing something in the playoffs. With goaltending, with really good goaltending, you can go deep into the playoffs. That brings us to the Rangers, who are holding the 8th spot. You know, the league does not want to see the Rangers not make the playoffs. They're a team that the league feels needs to be in the playoffs to help the league be, you know, noticed in America. I personally would rather see Winnipeg in and the Rangers out. But that's just me waving that red and white flag. And that would be great. After last year, one Canadian team in the second round. That was Ottawa. So that'd be good news for us if our friends in Winnipeg could make it into the playoffs. So we wish them a lot of luck. Yes, we do. And remember, Winnipeg is Randy Carlyle's team. That's where the Leafs traded him, and he became the best defenseman in the NHL. So we know that Leaf fans are excited about that. We touched on Joffrey Lupul, and we hope that he makes it back into the lineup. He really does make the Toronto team a really good team, and he really does make Nazem Kadri what he is. Now, there's some talk about contract with Nazem Kadri. There's a little bit of a connection there. I have a little connection with Kadri's agent. Nothing personal. Well, actually, it's all personal, nothing business. But I hope he's not listening to this. I think Nazem needs to do a little more to prove that he deserves a big contract. The Leafs made a mistake. A couple of years back, and they're still paying for the mistake. And you know, you can't pay a player just because he has a good couple of months. And in reality, you can all argue with me, you know, Leaf fans being what they are, they tend to make superstars out of Maple Leafs that aren't superstars. And so my hope is that the Leafs convince him to be a little more, a little more serious in believing what he deserves. You know, a couple of months doesn't give you a five-year contract at $5 million a year. Yet, folks, that's what Nazem Kadri is going to be looking for, term and money. I'm not saying he's not worth it. I'm saying that he's not worth it yet. I know that might be hard to believe for some Leaf fans, but, you know, reality is the kid's got to do a little more. Give him a one-year contract. Say, look, here's your one-year contract. We'll give you the kind of money that a 20-goal scorer deserves. Of course, in almost half a season. Sure, okay. We'll do that. But let's see what you can do before we give you some term. And the thing is, there's going to be other teams that are going to throw money at him. Two reasons. You know, a lot of times you take players from other teams, not just to take the player, but to also make things difficult for that team. And mind you, they won't get what they got or what they had to pay for Kessel. And that's why I don't like the Kessel trade. I like Kessel as a player, but to give up all that kind of future for a guy that's, Kessel's a real good player, but really, look what Boston got out of the deal. I mean, when you're drafting second overall, you're going to get a quality prospect. And of course, that's where your scouts come in, and that's where your development team comes in. So, as far as hockey's concerned, that's about it in the East Division. Of course, in the West Division, Calgary's rebuilding. Edmonton. Darn, Edmonton. I tell you, that's a team that I really like. Now, what I like about them isn't that they're going to, you know, destroy the world this year, but I truly hope that they can work some sort of miracle. They're 5 points back of Detroit. You know, they're 5 points back of Detroit, 7 points back of Minnesota, and they've got to climb over three teams. Phoenix, the closest to the playoffs at 42 points, and they've got a three-point lead on Edmonton. So whatever Edmonton does, all Phoenix has to do is maintain a portion of that three-point lead they have now. So it's going to be kind of tough for Edmonton to get there, but that's the team I like. That right in the West, them and Vancouver. Vancouver has really, really, really started to play really well. And they're turning it on. They do have some experience on preparing for getting into the playoffs. They have some amends to make with their fans from last year. First round, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. They got to get rid of that. So we've got Edmonton, if they could sneak in. Calgary, like I said, rebuilding. They're not going nowhere this year. Hopefully next year, with a couple of right moves, they've got three first-rounders. It could turn out really good for Calgary next year. Edmonton as well, but I'm hoping Edmonton sneaks in this year, and it's starting to look kind of impossible, and our only hope for us Canadian fans who love a Canadian team or would love to see a Canadian team win the Cup, Vancouver seems to be our only hope. And that's not a bad hope. I mean, odds-wise, I think with the combination of Ottawa, Toronto, and Montreal in the East is probably worth about maybe 10 to 15 more percentage points than I would give Vancouver by themselves to make it to the Western Final, if you understand what I'm saying. They, on their own, have as much potential as the three teams, just a little less potential than the three teams put together, Montreal, Toronto, and Ottawa. And I know the Montreal fans, and, of course, the Toronto fans, and the Ottawa fans, not so much, but because right now they're not looking so hot. Yeah, Vancouver is probably the best Canadian team right now. That doesn't mean that Montreal can't prove by the end of the playoffs that they are the best team, or Toronto, in fact, or Ottawa. It all comes down to how they do in the playoffs. So right now it looks like in hockey, they're talking about having an outdoor game in Los Angeles. Oh, boy. How about having an outdoor game in Toronto? Or they had it in Edmonton. I think they had one in Calgary. No, I don't think they've had one in Calgary yet. A lot of Canadian cities before you get to L.A. to get an outdoor game. It was a Canadian idea brought forward by Edmonton. They fought for it. They wanted it. They talked Montreal into taking part, which was helping to make it a success. And after that year, the Americans, of course, took it over. And now they're telling us when and if we should have an outdoor game. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's go to baseball. And the biggest story in baseball today, in my opinion, Biogenesis of America is selling doping documents to the Major League Baseball, to Major League Baseball. Now, without getting into too much detail, the point is, doping in baseball has become a big story because it has grown from something the media talks about to something that the legal system is handling and taking on baseball players. I won't get into all the detail, but it's amazing. They're going to actually sell this information. That's so cool. I'm telling you, that's wow, you know, unbelievable. Well, doping is not a very good thing. I don't think any of us can disagree that drugs in sports do not belong, and we need to get them out. Only because we all know, I know we're sort of saying that our children are sheep and stuff, but if, you know, these guys are doing it, it'll trickle down to the younger players. How far down, I'm not going to sit here and try to suggest, but I do believe it'll go. It'll fall through the cracks of Major League Baseball to the Minor League Baseball, and then so on. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk CFL football. And not only that, I got to call Aaron and Jarrett. Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Mm-hmm.
There's an unwritten code in Hamilton. If you live by it, chances are you've replaced the last beer in a cooler. You don't talk during the national anthem. You believe that great things can come from a little room above a fruit stand. You know Mac is a university, not a computer. Your child's first words were Oski Wee Wee. You know a red hat looks good with black and gold, and understand that double blue only looks good on the police. You believe hot water isn't a necessity for the visitor's dressing room. You've hit every green light on Main Street twice. You believe there's a little general in all of us. You only wear your good hard hat to games. You know King Kong was more than an ape. He was a five-time All-Star. You've parked on somebody's lawn to catch a kickoff. You know that Porter is a quarterback, not a bellhop. You've worn a kilt to a football game. You understand that every once in a while you have to be the center. You believe a football team can outlast 22 prime ministers, 2 world wars, a great depression, and still give birth to a pearl. You've worn a garbage bag as a raincoat. You've never seen a fair catch. You pick a concession line not based on how long the line is, but how hot that cashier looks. You understand that Labor Day is more than an extra day off. And no matter what happens on the field, your season is a success if you beat the Argos.
That's right. And finally.
I am Ryder Pride.
The flag bearers of our league.
The spirit of our game.
I will deafen all foes.
I will represent my team,
my province,
and my fellow fans
with honor and pride.
And inspire the next generation
of the Ryder Nation.
Green is my color.
Football is my game.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
This is my pledge.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Whoopsies. Lost the muff off my headset. I went looking for it. All right. So, CFL. Mike Edom, Calgary Dinosaur, great prospect. 6'1", 200 pounds, born in Brampton. Reason I mention him is he hasn't been interviewed by me yet. Every Wednesday, we interview 2 combine prospects. And again, this Wednesday, we'll be doing the same thing. So I wanted to make sure I got that in for you folks that are tuning in tonight. The best news that I could tell you right now, if you're an Argo fan, the fact that Chad Owens survived his fight, and not only survived the fight, he won the fight as well in Hawaii, in his home state. So now he says he's ready to play football again and get ready for football after beating Junia Tafega in Honolulu, which, by the way, is a beautiful place. If you haven't been there, you got to go there. I went there many, many years ago. Awesome place. Great place. So he did a great job in the MMA event. He won. And, Mighty Mouse is on his way back to playing football again. And I know Mr. Barker and company are totally relieved that he survived that battle. Anybody out there who disagrees with me, 714-242-5250 if you want to call in. Now, this is another interesting thing that's going on in football and in CFL. It's gone digital. They're actually, the Alouettes are on the leading edge of this. Dan Hawkins is the proponent of going digital, which just basically means actually being somewhere doesn't matter anymore. They can hold their meetings or running back meetings or passing meetings and other types of meetings. They can hold them through their own Twitter account. Water tonight. I'm really dry. I don't know why. So it should be really interesting. Jeremy Messam talked about it on his Twitter account, for those of you that have been following him. And you know, the Leafs went all digital. They went with tablets and stuff like that from the last year and the year before, and it didn't translate into a really good year, did it? So I'm not so sure it's about the technology. I think it's more about the planning and getting the message to the players the old-fashioned way, which is from mouth to ear, eye to eye. We're not talking basketball to the head kind of stuff, because we don't approve of that, which is another story going on. Oh, my gosh. What possesses a coach to think that he can throw stuff at his players, call them names, sexually demeaning commentary, all that kind of stuff? Especially in this digital age, you know, where people are taking pictures. I mean, just look at your own, just look at your own collection of pictures. How many pictures do you think you had before you had a digital camera? For those of you that have lived long enough to know what not a digital camera is, or not a not digital camera is, I've got thousands and thousands of pictures. I used to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, or I have hundreds and hundreds of pictures that you hold in your hand, that you send film to get developed, and the pictures come back 30 or so at a time. I have hundreds of those, but those took years to put together. You can now, in one trip, as I did, one trip to the Grand Canyon, you can really put together a photo package on the 3,000 pictures I think I took. That's in a 1 week period, 6 days really. Well, the point I'm trying to make is that with the Leaf comment, brought on, of course, by the original discussion with Dan Hawkins and the Montreal Alouettes going digital, technology is wonderful. I mean, Roger Nielsen proved to us that technology was a great boon. But he used it more than it used him. And that's what Dan Hawkins has to be careful of. We know for sure, though, the Alouettes are going to try everything. Right now, they need to develop some trust with their fans. Dan Hawkins has an extra large pair of shoes to fill. And I think he'll do a good job. The Alouettes hired the best football guy they could find, I believe. And I think they succeeded. Just as Ottawa did, just as Toronto did, just as Hamilton just did. And, of course, I think the rest of the teams, including Winnipeg, have had good coaching. I don't think coaching's been a problem in the West. The GM situation was a bigger problem in Edmonton. We all know that Calgary's set. BC? Who's going to replace that coach? At least I think they'll make it. We'll see which coaches are the first ones this year to go. So we wish Dan Hawkins a lot of luck. And with the digital age arriving in full force in Montreal, now the Rough Riders are a team that, as I've said many times on this program, will be the team to beat. I still find it hard to believe, as Cohen noted, all the teams have been under the accounting microscope and none of the teams are over the cap. I can't believe the Saskatchewan isn't over the cap. And I'm not saying that they are, my goodness, no, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that they've made so many moves and brought on so many players that I can't believe they're not over the cap. But the important thing is that Saskatchewan now will be hosting the Grey Cup. And one of the key players for them is 27-year-old Dressler. And Dressler has a lot to prove this year, only because he didn't have a good start to last year. And most importantly, they didn't end the season the way he'd hoped. So, you know, they've got some great players, as you all know. I don't have to tell you. A lot of big moves. They made a lot of big moves. They've got two Grey Cup Argos on their team now. Tristan went over there. We miss him. So Saskatchewan has made their moves. And now, it is now a question of seeing whether they can make the chemical balance. Because in every sport, you can have the best players in the world on your team, bring them all together, and still, they are not successful. Blue Jays. So, you know, it's important for all of us to realize that just because they're good doesn't mean they're going to win. So they need to play as a team. There is no I in team. You know, there's no M in we. So let's keep that in mind. So hopefully Saskatchewan will be a great team that will bring a lot of excitement to the Saskatchewan fans and to those of us sitting in the stands when they come into our hometowns to play, to give our great teams a great challenge and give us a great game. So it looks like Saskatchewan is, well, seriously thinking about winning this year. Now, the Argonauts traded for Khalif Mitchell. And they're hoping that he will report to the camp in June. There's some concern when they mention they hope that he's going to come to camp. Maybe somebody knows for some reason that he may not join them from Virginia Beach, Virginia. So he's been fined by the team because he didn't return in time to BC. And the Argonauts traded for him. Now he's young. Now he was on the practice roster of the San Francisco 49ers for 2 years. So, you know, this is a talented player. And they need him on the defensive side of the ball. This is a guy who, he puts the streak in mean, or he puts the mean in streak. But this dude is tough. And, you know, you got to have a guy like that on defense. And I truly believe Adriano Belli was that for the Argos. And I don't know that he's coming back this year, and they need a bit of edge on defense. And Khalif will definitely bring it for the Argos. That's for sure. Which brings me to the final discussion for today, the final subject, which I alluded to briefly, also briefly, the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, the last time we talked about the Blue Jays here, I mentioned that the fans will have to be patient. They'll have to be patient. The team has to gel. Chemistry is a major, major, major concern. You can put the best parts together, but the machine don't run the way you'd expect. And not only have they brought in a whole bunch of players, don't forget, they've got a new manager. So for those of you Jay fans that are all excited, and here's the nice thing about baseball, folks, 162 games. 162 games to determine the top three teams in the East and in the West. And then two wild cards to determine who will be the fourth team. So, before everybody starts panicking after 10 games, don't panic. They'll be fine. And if they're not, they'll be looking for a new GM or a new manager. All right. So that's our around the horn. I think we touched on everything important. And I think, again, I'll repeat, Tennis Canada, very proud, as all Canadians are, of Milos Raonic and the Canadian team in the Davis Cup, advancing to the semifinals. That is the most wonderful news that I think any of us could ask for. TSN Radio has the best radio guy on now on television, not just radio. The very best radio guy on television. His name is Mike Richards. And if Mike's going to talk about the Argos and give props to the CFL, I'm going to do the same thing until he tells me I can't play it anymore. You hear me, Mike? You have to tell me I can't play it anymore. Okay, when we come back, hopefully, two people will be joining me. Aaron, on the side of the good. And Jarrett, who does merit the time on the air.
I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white Leaside like snob. I like porno and Proline and books about porn. I got an average house with nice hardwood floors. My wife, my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar. But sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested. No way. Now I gotta wear double blue and hit the subway downtown. Yeah, 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 yeah. I need football big on a really big field. No silicone cheerleaders. I want my chicks real. I'm an Argo. I fly to BC and hide all their weed. I go to Regina and say, how about that wheat? I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo. I park at Commonwealth and take Edmonton spaces while Edmonton people make Edmonton faces. I'm an Argo. I'm an Argo.
Maybe I shouldn't be singing this song, ranting and raving and carrying on. Maybe they're right when they say that I'm wrong.
Nah. I'm an Argo.
He's an Argo.
I'm an Argo.
He's such a big Argo.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get myself one of those Condridge Holloway Mets jerseys circa 1982 with the midriff showing, just like those skanky Queen Street Lady Gaga wannabes, and walk right into Harbor 60, and there's nothing nobody can do about it. Yeah! And I'm going to talk about the Argos on the radio anytime I want, because unlike that 60-year-old from The Fan who wears sunglasses on TV, I actually go to the games. Okay! They can take their 20 years of boring people with their Dungeons & Dragons staff and have a great big 20-year-old cakewalk right in the middle of Yonge Street, and it will make it look a difference. You know why? Because we got the bombs. Yeah! We got Schultz, Dennegan, frickin' Naylor, and frickin' Randorf. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get Bill Simons, Joel Kroll, Terry Greer, and frickin' Don Moen, and a giant case of Crown Royal, and we're gonna go right down.
Hey, you know what, pal? You really are an Argo.
Just shut up.
Hello.
And sing the song, pal.
Hey, Jared.
I'm an Argo.
Hey, I don't know why I can't get on.
You're here.
Argo.
I got you on. You're on
oh,
now,
like,
buddy.
On Skype or just on the regular phone?
Hang in there. End of commercial. Then we'll get Aaron on too in a minute.
Okay.
I'm an Argo, and I'm proud of it.
Yes, he's an Argo, and he's proud of it. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. We got Jared on the phone right now, Jared Harris. Jared, how you doing, buddy?
I'm okay, Frank. How are you?
You were trying to get on with Skype. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. It's not working.
Huh. Well, it must have something to do. No, I guess it doesn't have anything to do with me, but...
Does it have something to do with Firefox? I'm going through Firefox to get it.
I don't know. You know, maybe that's why I'm not going to make excuses for why we don't get phone calls. It's basically because I'm not interesting. But aside from that, I suspect that there might be a problem and Skype doesn't work. And it's okay because, you know what, being the erudite people that you and I are, do we really need to have anybody else other than Aaron on here with us?
Well, Aaron's the man. I'm just the backup.
Oh, well, don't get your backup now.
Oh.
What's new in Rockland?
Oh, my goodness. What's not new, Aaron?
Well, Aaron's not here yet. I'm going to call him. Let me ask you something. Do you
What's
like
new in Rockland? We're in the playoffs. They finish off the season tomorrow in Philadelphia. And with the win, they clinch home field advantage for the entire playoffs. But right now they're in first. And some of the benefits of having a $3.5 million training facility all to yourself.
There you go. Which you promised you'd show me, and we haven't had a chance to check it out yet.
Well, you know what? There's a Rock Fan Day coming up very soon. April 20th, I believe, and well, I can take you down for a practice there, or we can go down before that if you want.
Yeah, no, we'll check. I'd like to check it out. I'd like to go there and check it out and report on it for the folks that are listening.
Yeah, practices are open, so.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Now, let me see now. Let me in on whether you like tennis or not.
Well, I know, I don't want to bastardize his name. I know Canada is doing very well in the Davis Cup. And we're riding on the shoulders of our giant right now, and we're doing quite well.
Yep, Milos Raonic.
That's it, Milos Raonic, yes.
And he's only 22 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got a few years left.
Oh,
so we're looking
so.
Good in tennis.
It's like that 14-year-old stud from China that's lighting up the course in the Masters.
Yeah, I know. I was talking about him as well. He made the cut.
Yeah. But incurred a penalty for delay, right?
Exactly.
Too long, or, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think the 17th hole or something. Yeah, I mentioned it at the beginning of the program.
I was battling Skype at that time, my friend. I apologize.
No, no worries. No worries. No worries. What do you think? We give Aaron a call?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's give Aaron a call. Aaron. Yeah, you know what else? Have you been following anything other in sports other than the...
Oh, big Argo Ticats have landed some big signings. You know, they've signed pylons or they've signed some quality talent for training camp, but it looks to be quite exciting. And, of course, I'm just laughing. I heard you talking about the Jays, but, you know, you have a team that... That's paid, close to $100 million in salary in Toronto. And then you have a team that's probably isn't paid as much as the rookie MLB player in the Toronto Rock. And they're the ones winning the championship. They're the ones winning the games. And they're the ones that fans come out to see and really enjoy. That's it. But... Again, do we get any media coverage except, that three-second soundbite? But I know money only talks in this city, so.
Well, you know, it is by definition big league, I guess, you know, because there are so many teams and you know, they get a lot of press.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
well,
press.
The press owns them, Frank.
Well, press begets press, right?
Yeah.
Aaron, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks a lot, Frank. Sorry I'm a little late.
Oh, please, don't apologize. It gave me an excuse to carry on and bore people even longer.
Wow, you weren't alone in boring people. You had an accomplice.
Buongiorno, meathead.
Buenos dias, Senor Harris.
Cerveza, por favor.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Cuba, anyone?
Hey, cervezas machinas, your Corona.
With
lime. No, I'm going to pass on that. Bud Light lime.
There you go. Enjoy your Bud Light lime. I was thinking of inviting one of the groups Facebook, Bring Back Football, to Ottawa.
Oh, they're good people.
Yeah, I spoke to Allison and she was okay to invite everybody. So I'm just wondering whether I should put a link together and post it and see if we can drag any of them in here. But if there's a problem with Skype, I don't want to invite them into frustration.
I don't know about they should be used to that. I mean, you know, if they're football fans in Ottawa.
Hey, some of my closest friends are from Ottawa. They're awesome people, I have to say.
Mr. Dictinelli. It's the sports organizations that are the problem.
Yeah. Well, isn't part of the OHL team, the owner of the OHL team, isn't he in on this now with the Ottawa franchise?
That is correct.
Yeah, that's good because he seems to be a bit of a forward thinker there. He's making the Ottawa minor team work and stuff.
He understands the landscape. Right? I mean, there's a certain cell that's working with the Ottawa 67s.
Yeah.
You know, and he is applying the same principles with the CFL franchise, which basically says we are going to show them good football. You know, it's like the Ticats. It's the same sale the Ticats make. They really like to endear themselves to the fans. Previously, when the Ottawa franchise was there, they were full of gimmicks. You know, halftime shows, they tried all that stuff. And, you know, that is
I like the Renegades logo. I like that Pow Pow made all the players stop and stand for the national anthem. He said, Canadian or not, you're in this country's capital city. We're going to stop and we're going to. Because we made a junket for 5 years to go see the Canada Day football game in Ottawa, no matter who they played. We would always camp up one of the provincial parks there and venture in. And, it was a great time. It was a great day to be Canadian and watching a football game on Canada Day, I tell you.
You know what? Canadian football is a treat. If you can make it possible for the fans to congregate. You know, I'm beginning to get that message loud and clear. You know, when I was at the Grey Cup, that was the thing that impressed me the most. I think that's what lacks in Toronto. And sometimes when I mention it, I know people sort of shudder, shrug, and, you know. Well, as you know, the group that I came in with, We're fervent Argo fans, and we're outside yelling and screaming, but I think we're the only ones doing it. You know,
tailgating, with the exception of a small isolated pockets, isn't allowed in Toronto. And that was that there was a huge potential to develop a tailgate community with the TFC soccer team, but they screwed that. They left messes. They fought. They were just belligerent. And I hate to say it, Frank, but, you know, you talk to Lori Bursey and the Friends of the Argos. They're hosted every year by the Box J Boys on Labor Day. And we do tailgating right. People clean up after themselves. We have a good time. And, you know, if the people in Toronto would just take a little bit of more common sense and have a good time. But remember, there's kids around. Don't drink out of glass bottles. Drink out of solo cups. And just put your stuff in a garbage bag. I think the police wouldn't give anyone a hard time, and they'd be able to tailgate in the city. But they don't. I don't know what to say, and I don't want to be so generalized.
Is what it boils down to. We're tailgate impaired.
You know, but I mean, Toronto's an event city, and you know, the rest of the country's evolved to realize that a football game isn't just a game; it is
a whole day of events that leads to it. There's getting together with friends. There's the whole cookout portion if you happen to have a large enough parking lot. There's all sorts of different components that go into it.
Aaron, sorry, large enough parking lot. Have you been to Lot J and Iverwind? It ain't large, buddy, but we still tailgate.
But there's the whole. You're right. There's a whole event feel to things, and there's the whole cosmopolitan thing. For some reason, I think the reason Toronto doesn't tailgate is because we may think we're above it, for lack of a better way to put it. Not that we're necessarily snooty, but it's, you know.
Hey, Aaron, we had first taste of that when we went into a certain establishment after a certain sport game last Sunday, right? So we know about this. It's you can be a blue collar fan, but don't go in near the ACC kind of thing.
I'll be honest with you. I think that was absolutely embarrassing. I was embarrassed for the team and the players as a fan. I was embarrassed for the organization because I think that they could have done something so much better.
Yeah, and they've devalued the relationship with the fans with that event. But anyways, I digress. Let's get back to the thousands and millions of listeners of our wonderful show here. Just to clarify, if you don't know, I am a Box J boy. I'm a proud Box J boy, and that is one of the fan groups from Hamilton who we're the guys in the kilts and the hard hats. You see us introducing games on TSN. I also I'm the charitable events coordinator for that group, and I run CFL Fans Fight Cancer. So when I'm speaking about Hamilton, I'm speaking from a fan perspective. I'm not representing the team. And when we do speak about The Rock, we do not speak for The Rock. We speak about The Rock as fans of the team. I just need to do that little disclaimer. But, Iverwind, you know, if you want to have a good time, Torontonians, and see what a small town embrace the Canadian Football League, make it out to Guelph for a game. Make it out for the Guelph-Toronto game in October. Join the Box J Boys for some roast turkey out there. But come on out, and I think you're going to see a town really embrace this team and this sport.
There's no doubt that Hamilton fans know how to have fun. There's no doubt about that. But I got to tell you, we Toronto fans this year are going to make things a lot more fun. I think we'll succeed in doing that.
And you know what, Frank? I mean, there's two kinds of fans that I've experienced, and I know all generalizations are false, but there's the fans that go into another stadium and are just royal idiots, right? And then there are fans that come into a stadium, sit down, say hi to everyone around them, hope it's a good game, talk about, you know, do the quiet applause when it's a good play, celebrate when your team does a touchdown, and remember that it's not your house, right? I'd like to think, for the most part, you know, the Toronto fans that we host, Lori's crew, I can't wait to host you guys. We have three busloads that come down. We all have a good time. The unfortunate thing is there's fans in each stadium. I've been spit on in Toronto. We've been jumped in Toronto. Just walking out, we didn't say anything. I was spit on from the next level up.
Wow.
And I was just sitting there watching the game. Because I'm the guy that sits down and says hi to everyone. You've seen me with the crowd, Frank. You see me with people. I love my team, but I also love the sport. And the only difference between you and me is that I was born in Simcoe, Ontario, and you were born, in and about Toronto, so you're going to cheer your team. That's why I cheer my team. But I love the sport. I watch CFL games on TSN when the Ticats aren't playing. There's not a lot of people that do that, but it's growing. So
It is absolutely growing.
You know, and when you say it's going to be fun, I believe, from my perspective and meeting you and spending time with you at the Rock games, that It is going to be fun. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to get, there's that Box J boy. But the first guy to reach out his hand and shake my hand will be you and say, hey, everyone, if you don't know him, this is my friend Jarrett.
Well, let's not go too far.
Well, if you don't, I'm going to kick you in the balls. How's that? I'll give you a Hamilton greeting. How's that?
Hey, listen, here's the way I look at being at a CFL game. The CFL game is a football game that's especially Canadian.
That's why I love it.
Every time there's a game, it's a game between two Canadian teams. Mm-hmm. And we all remember that we all wear red and white when it really matters.
And our heart and our blood runs with maple syrup every time.
Absolutely. With mixed in with a little Aaron, you're so quiet tonight. What's the matter?
I'm just listening in, that's all. I'm watching the conversation develop. I'm also, and I have to apologize for this, getting a gift package together for Jer. I was helping a good friend of mine pack up her warehouse and found some things that I thought you might have been interested in, Jer.
Oh, right. We talked about those things. Don't forget the batteries.
Well, I would have talked first if that were the case. Zing!
Okay, Frank, where are we going with? No, let's keep talking about this because I think we have a future here.
Okay, let's move on. Let's continue with the Hamilton thing. Hamilton thing. I apologize. With the Ottawa, the Ottawa Rough Riders, had a glorious history. I mean, they weren't the greatest franchise as far as championships are concerned, but they were a wonderfully charismatic team through the ages. Russ Jackson,
Yeah, absolutely. A huge footprint in terms of history on the league. And they still have a fantastic, and I mean fantastic, core group of fans. I mean, we usually have a bunch come down periodically through the Ticats season in order to just come and see a game. And we travel with them to every Grey Cup. Well, not except this one because there's no rooms in Regina this year.
There were no rooms during the Grey Cup.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. There's no rooms this year. Yeah.
None.
So,
and let's explain that to the people who are listening. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders are hosting the 101st Grey Cup. And at the
Grey
100th
Cup 101.
Grey Cup, that's right, Grey Cup 100, before the Argos and the Calgary Stampeders touched the field to start the game, there were no accommodations available in Saskatchewan for the future Grey Cup. We have someone else joining us. Is that John?
Yeah, it's John. How you guys doing?
Hi, John.
Hey, John.
We're doing great.
Aaron. Hey, Jarrett. I was just listening to Jarrett's story about the unfortunate incident at the Argo games, and I'm thinking, holy crap, does that stuff actually happen at an Argo game? Because Jared, I got to tell you, it's not an Argo fan. Might be a once in a blue moon guy goes to an Argo game because I don't ever hear any bad stuff that Argo fans do to the opponents. Because, first of all, I wish we had passionate fans that would maybe want to do something passionate like that, but not spit on you. Just kind of verbal jousting. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but,
well, Jared, and
I
you know
tell
what?
You,
I'm all game for the. Ticats suck,
verbal.
And I say, yeah, Argo swallow, and blah, 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 right? But
this
was one point, and John, in terms of the jumping, I was witness to it, / victim to it. It was the Toronto police. We were sitting
What's
in our
that?
Seats. We
That's
were sitting
that.
In our seats, and someone called and said, one of our guys, the Toronto police, came up, knocked the beer out of his hand, punched him in the face. He was talking to a woman in the wheelchair, and they were just having a conversation because he knew her. He's a postman, and I came up, and I said, "What happened to an Argo fan?" He said, "We were just talking to this lady, and the cop came up and jumped this guy, and then it was just ridiculous from there."
It snowballed from there.
That's why you won't see the, except for Grey Cups, that's why you won't see the Box J Boys at a Toronto game. We came to the semifinal last year, and you know what?
Jarrett, I was about to say, you guys always are polite, and you do the proper CFL fan etiquette, okay? But I got to tell you, Jarrett, there is more nastiness than there is good. When it comes to Labor Day games in Hamilton, we are completely. You guys are exception, okay? But that's because you're experienced fans. But the majority of the fans who come out to the Ticat games, and they're on us verbally. And it's the young punks, and I get that. But when they start getting physical, and it happens every Labor Day game, they want to rip my flag apart. We're just walking out of the stadium.
Yeah.
Some chick walks up from behind us because a whole bus load of Hamilton fans was jeering her on. Rip his flag, rip it. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, my wife's, you know, walking behind me, and she's saying, watch out. And this chick grabs the flag and starts trying to rip it apart. You know,
and
the
you know what, John?
Flag, very, you know, yeah.
Did you hear what happened to the Argonauts? And it was on the other side of Lot J.
I know.
Some guy did something. And I told the Argonauts to call us, and we will escort them into Lot J, and we will escort them to the stadium. Because that is garbage. Like, and just like you said, there's always got to be those punks that like come to the Labor Day game, or it's a Friday night, hey, let's go to an Iowa game. They have no respect for the team. They have no respect for the game, and they think it's their opportunity. I mean, it's like a dick ticket. You know, I got a ticket to the Ticat game. I can be a dick to the Toronto fans, or I got a tick to the Argo game. I can be a dick to the Hamilton fans, and I just don't get it because when we stand up, you know, and it's like, what the hell is this? You know, like I just don't get it. I've jumped into several situations that I ever win.
Oh yeah. Well, listen, you're an exception, but you know there's a way of changing this method of thinking. All right, and this is what I do, and I share that with everybody who's an Argo lifer, and try to express to other Argo fans who we see getting aggressive in the wrong way. We more or less tame them down. We put them down verbally as our own fans, not to do that to the other fans. Verbal jousting, I agree. Throwing stuff and then coming down and body jousting, that's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we get a lot in Hamilton, you know what I mean? And it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
You guys, you have to do your share of the two in Hamilton. Is when you see these young guys, you know, remind them. We remind them when we're in Toronto, when we get a few Argo guys who've never been to a Labor Day game, they think it's some sort of a ritual that you're supposed to get into a fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
and it's not.
In the old days, if you left with all your teeth, you weren't a man, right?
That's just BS, right? You're right. Yeah, well, that's old school
stuff,
right?
I like my teeth, and they're too expensive to replace.
Right. Well, no, that's the reason why I had to call in, because I thought to myself, like, I feel bad for Jarrett, but at the same time, listen, like I said, you guys are an exception there. It's more when we are in a section. This past season, this past game, the Labor Day game, was great. First of all, the Ticat management did a fantastic job hosting us. They gave us our own, you know, tailgate party area, which was great, you know, food, and it was provided. So they did, but they got to follow that up with the same kind of treatment because years prior, it wasn't there. You know what I mean? I think they're getting the attention from you guys who are putting the open arms
out
kind of gesture.
Some of us have made some calls in.
Oh, good. Well, I feel that, Jared.
Not that we're employees or anything, but, you know, hey, heads up with this because, you know, these are good people. These are the real fans of the game. And not that, you know, the people who come for just Labor Day aren't, but you can tell the guys who are just it's their rite of passage or something. I don't get it.
Yeah, you know, it happens. But, you know, like I said, that's what we're there for, right? You're there for that. You got to stop them. I got to stop them. At the same time, teach them how to do it right. You know what I mean?
John,
it's all about verbal
jousting. You know what's funny?
What?
My wife is an Argo, and she sits right in the guts of the Box J Boys, and she never worries. We have a great time. She stands up and cheers. You know that she gets stuff thrown at her, a kernel of popcorn. You know what I mean?
I got a kind of a feeling that you guys are more like her musketeers around her. No one's going to touch her.
Every Argo fan that comes up to us, we have their back, right? And Finn, who's an Argoholic, him and I have the same attitude. I'll back up any Argo fan at Grey Cup that needs it in a heartbeat. right?
So, Aaron, hold on a second. Aaron, you're an Argo fan. What section do you sit in?
I actually...
mm-hmm. Why? Don't tell me, Aaron. Don't say it, Aaron. Don't say that you don't.
He's a lacrosse head.
I'm a lacrosse fan.
Okay, so you literally don't even follow football?
No, I do follow the CFL. I just don't go to as many games as I'd like to.
So which fan are you, a Ticat or Argo fan?
I'm an Argo fan.
1 second.
You're not going to...
There's no...
Gold.
Frank, what the hell? Frank, you mean you haven't signed him up yet in the lifer section? What's wrong with you, Frank?
Here's how it works with Aaron. He follows
what?
The Argos to his TV set.
Oh, I'll try and get him to the Tuesday game, the first game of the season. I think it is the first game, isn't it? No, it is. What the hell am I talking about? Yeah.
No, it's a Friday. Actually, we're going to be doing a nice thing for you guys. You guys are going to see what it looks like to raise the banner when the championship win. It's the season opener.
Oh, that's just me.
You know what? You guys celebrate that way. I'm going to still be hopeful. No, I'm not even going to jinx it, Aaron. I'm not going there. I'm not going to talk about the other Toronto team that's winning right now.
Nope.
So,
nope.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to talk.
No, jinx it. You know what?
No.
You couldn't do any damage, Jared. The only reason why the Leafs are even any closer.
No, talking about the Leafs,
back
man.
I'm talking about the team
that plays our national
solid.
Sport.
Okay, listen, the Rock are solid as the Rock can be in its own name, okay? The Rock are solid. I mean, I went to that game 2 games ago. What the hell? Who did they play? I can't even remember. It was after the Edmonton game when they got blown out. The next home game was on a Friday night.
Oh,
yeah,
Buffalo.
You guys were quiet.
It was Buffalo on Good Friday.
It was Buffalo, Bob, the Bandit. Yeah, it was the Bandit. That was a good game, okay? I mean, I think that's the real Rock right there. Okay.
Oh yeah.
The way they played that game, the Edmonton game, guys. I don't know what the hell. I don't know what the hell happened there.
I'll tell you
what
that was. It, fast young
what
team,
was
and they underestimated him.
Yeah.
Edmonton.
Right.
You're gonna see those kids in the playoffs too.
That fast young team scares the willies out of me.
Yeah.
No shit. That's what I thought.
One on the road. They're 7-1 on the road. They're 1-5 at home. If you don't think that they're going to be coming out all guns blazing the first home game, the first playoff game that they have, if they actually win this weekend with a couple of their losses from a couple key teams, they could actually have their first ever home playoff game. If you don't think they're fired up for that, And when the playoffs actually...
The next playoff game, John, is April 28th. It's a Sunday. But we're all getting together at Joe Badali's since we can't tailgate out. Well, we could technically tailgate outside in this weather, but we always get together at Joe Badali's before the game. So we're going to meet up at noon and come up, and I'll give you a Rock Roadies card, and you'll get some discounts on your food and beer.
Oh, that's sweet. I appreciate that.
That's at Badali's, right? Joe Badali's.
Yeah, I know where that is. No worries. We used to go there after the Argo games before, but it's a little bit quiet for
John will bring a pillow with him.
We go to the Overdraft after the game, and we're as noisy as we can make it, but we're usually about 30 or 40 people, so we don't get too noisy.
No, and listen, I love that place because the management there are super when it comes to charities, and I know they support your funds and the cancer drives that you guys do. No, the management there are super people. It is, for Argo fans and stuff, I know Lori goes there still with the little group with Scott and the other fans, but it's a little bit too quiet for us. I like to go where the players come. They come. The Rock players come to Joe's, though, right?
Oh, no, they don't.
No. No,
they have not
no.
for the past 2 years. They haven't been to Joe Badali's in the past 6 years. It's been shipped back and forth between the Jack Astors off King Street, the Jack Astors on Front, and this year, wonder of wonders, they were at Real Sports. And oh my God, don't get me started on that because it was a nightmare.
Yeah, and see the thing is, John, the roadies go to Badali's because before the game we get a significant discount on our food, 20%, and we get 5.85 pints of Steam Whistle. And then after the game, we go to the Overdraft, and they give us $5 pints of Bud.
That's nice.
Yeah. They like the roadies. We're passionate fans. We're going to try and get the party back there. So,
You're making me thirsty right now, Jarrett.
Attaboy. Well, crack one open, buddy. We ain't here to paint. I'm getting ready for CFL season, and I'm drinking it cold, so I got to learn how to talk like this.
Hey, so listen, speaking of the CFL, do you guys have a town hall that the Ticats do for their fans, or?
Well, in the past years, they have had a town hall style of meeting, but what it's evolved into is a ticket pickup, a form of ticket pickup event. Usually happens at the stadium, but I don't think that can happen this year.
Okay, well, you got tickets for the season opener at the Sky Dome?
Well, I'm going to, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to grab
okay,
my...
Well, Jared,
I usually sit...
You're going to be able to work with us, and we'll get you right behind the Ticat bench beside our section, and I can help you out with the ticket price if you want to bring some people down, because the season ticket holder, I get them for
I'm in good stand with a couple of the ticket agents there, and where I usually sit is on the 200 level. I sit with the end of the row girls, we call them at rock games, but the Boomhauer sisters and Kim and those girls, we're friends from the rock, so I sit with them. But that being said, I will not sit with the Argo lifers. Maybe we can friend me on Facebook.
I gotta clear that up. You can't sit with us. You can sit beside us. I can't allow
any
colors except for, unless you wear the Argo colors, no problem. But there are strict rules in our section, okay?
I'll put my wife on your side of the stairs, and I'll sit on the other side of the stairs.
That's exactly how we can set it up. I'm not kidding you, okay?
I know.
You can be right over. Well, this is where you guys sit is right beside. Oh, that's a nice one, see? Someone's in agreement.
Yeah.
It's Aaron's dog, right?
And Aaron can sit on the stairs.
That would be Zeke, my girlfriend's dog. He just saw the cats. Thora,
okay,
my dog, be tied up with her.
Thora has a bit of a deeper growl.
Sorry about that, boy.
Husky. It's okay.
Okay, well, listen, guys, we'll talk more about the season opener and stuff like that. It's too bad. And Frank, I'll be seeing you at the town hall. Don't forget, well, first of all, I'll be seeing you. We'll be picking you up. Diane and I will be picking you up to go to Kitchener for that Habitat for Humanity that we're doing with a couple Argo players for Kingsley
cool.
Collectibles out there.
Well, that's awesome. And
just Cheryl and Kevin.
John,
Cheryl and Kevin out in Kitchener, we're going to go give them a hand, and I'm going to see Frank there. Right, Frank?
Yeah.
Since we're on the community awareness thing, and you know what, this is what I'd like the media to just touch on once a season, is that Argo fans, real Argo fans and real Ticat fans, aren't just out to punish their livers. You know, we are members of the community and we are invested. You're doing the Habitat for Humanity thing on May 11th, Saturday. We're doing the Climb for Cancer that benefits Jervansky Cancer Center. It's a regional cancer center in Hamilton. And we have the Argos cheerleaders coming out. We'll have some Argos players coming out, the Ticats coming out, and the Ticat cheerleaders coming out. And we climb from noon to 1 during the Ron Lancaster Family Memorial Climb. And CFL fans fight cancers there. We hold a tailgate. We sell hot dogs. So anybody who wants to come
Randy
out to
Newman.
The Shido- What's
Randy
that?
Newman, your buddy.
Yes,
I got to
sir.
Sponsor him. He's been posting lately that he's doing that too. Also,
well, he's the captain of our climb team. So if you can make
Please.
It out, it's a good time.
Well, if not make it out, I'll definitely try to sponsor Randy whenever he gets
That's
back
cool.
to me about the buttons. Never
oh.
mind.
Oh, jeez. I tried to get him to come on the show tonight. Actually, he's out at a concert.
Yes. Oh, but, John, I look forward to meeting you, man, when blowing the froth off a couple of pints for sure.
Well, definitely. Well, I thought I was going to see you guys at the Bandit game. I was sitting with Gary Group. He's one of the diehard rock fans, season ticket holder. We were right behind you, right behind the rock bench. And I'm thinking, you guys are over to my right, and I'm looking back over, and I saw you a little bit. But I was telling Aaron, you weren't on the last show, and after the game I said, I expected more. I expected more noise from you guys. I know you were drinking better than you were making noise, but I kind of expected more. I'm just telling you. That's all.
Hey, we were loud. That's but
You know what? When you're the only bunch yelling, sometimes it doesn't. It's not very impressive.
Listen, Jared. I can tell you stories about that, because at the Argo Games when we first started off, it was like they were staring at us like we're aliens. Okay,
yeah,
what we were doing,
yeah.
Standing on defense. We were getting kicked out. We asked Frank at the Saskatchewan game security because of the rider fans and the rider trainer complaining about noise making. Okay, because we had whistles and drums and stuff, and they came and told us to sit down. If we stood up one more time, we're out. So you know what we did? We all left.
That's it. That's it. It's not cool to stand up and cheer in Toronto except at a Rock game. You don't get thrown out for that, right?
Yeah, you understand?
He gets thrown out for it at a Leaf game, a Jays game, a Raptor game, and an Argo game.
Call it a corporate game.
You guys
call
got
it a corporate game.
Yeah, you guys got the hard hats taken away from me. That was so stupid. I mean,
well,
they're
back now. They're back now.
Yeah, they're back now, but it's just the arm twisting. Yeah.
John, they tried taking a hard hat away from a Blue Jay fan who had a Blue Jay hard hat.
Mark Wolodarski, I know the fella. Yeah, he's an Argo fan.
I'm
heard about
at the Blue Jay game.
That's right. It was a Blue Jay hard hat.
Yeah.
That they tried to take. So, they told him that if he comes in again with it, that they're going to kick him out.
Right, and they sell them at the stadium.
And well. This is This is what Argo fans and Toronto fans have to deal with in general. And guys, you guys were talking about tailgating parties, okay? Toronto tailgate parties are a formula that's never going to really happen. It can't happen for NFL games because it's just the licensing and the area downtown, the merchant complaints that they get. Years past, we used to have them outside the Sky Dome when the parking lots, which are now condo towers, okay?
I used to go to the one right between the ACC and the Dome.
You remember?
On
yeah.
Bay.
It was a good time. They had a stage Q107 would sponsor it. They had a concert up front. There was, you know,
this was a real parking lot, and we drank out of our trunks, and everything was low key. We drank out of solo cups. Music was down. Never got bugged by the cops.
Yeah,
but there was only 50 of us.
Well, you see, it's more technical now. In Hamilton, you have the laid-back neighborhood, first of all, okay, which is the first essential. And then you have the laid-back police, because it's once in a blue moon event that it happens, that something happens in the city where it gathers that many people in
the event. Do you know why we're not hassled? No one.
You guys have proper CFL fan etiquette, most of you, okay?
90% of you we police ourselves. Right. If you
that
see
too.
There,
yeah.
If anyone is drinking out of a bottle, we'll give them a solo cup. If anyone is drinking out of a glass, we'll give them a solo cup. I had a friend of mine bring a plastic cup, and a cop walked up to him and he said, "I can see it." And he said, and the guy said, "What do you mean? It's in plastic." He said, "But if you're responsible and I can't see it, there's no problem. But I can see it now."
Jared, listen, about the police, the one thing that you shouldn't do and anybody should do as a fan is insult their intelligence. If you do it bluntly, where everybody sees it, that means they're forced to do something because that's what they're there for, to stop irregular activity that might seem not proper in the public light, meaning that drinking out open, you know, swearing out loud.
You go to our tailgates, there's families playing football, you know. Fans are welcomed on Labor Day for the most part. A little bit of good-natured razzing, but everyone's cooking, everyone's having a good time. And when we leave that parking lot, the only thing you know we're there is that the garbage bags are piled in the corner against the fence, and that's the fans who took them there.
There's no burden
on the city.
No, Hamilton Ticats fans, I got to give them props. Out of a lot of the cities in the – you know, because I got to compare you to the Calgary, Edmonton, and the Ryder fans. It would be you guys in the top three when it comes to tailgates. Probably in the top two. Ryder fans are the ultimate. Then you got the Calgary fans who really, really do good there with the meat.
Yeah, well,
and
they have tailgate spots.
Yeah, they can't beat you with the food. I mean, there's no sausage you guys can ever make that kills their ribs out there. You know what I mean? They got the fresh cows, so what could I say?
Yeah, you haven't been for my cedar plank salmon for the BC game, my friend.
Okay, well, then I'll definitely have to. Well, for the BC game, yeah, I'm not going to go up for the BC game. Maybe,
but,
you know, what's
going to
be hard
to Labor Day?
I'm not sure. Yeah, well,
have
what
you been to our Labor Day
game?
We ate 85-pound pig, 40 pounds of beef, 150 sausages, and if you're there early enough, you get a box. You get a plate of Box J Boy toast, which is French toast, but it's not so French. It's more Irish creamy French toast, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, listen, guys, listen, I appreciate the call, Frank, and I don't want to keep you guys too long. I'm on the phone. I just called for a little bit. Nice talking to you. I'll talk to you guys soon again. And I'll see
friend me on Facebook, man. We'll do some contacts and make arrangements.
For sure. Frank, Aaron, Jared, thank you, guys. You have a good night.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cool. You too.
John Take
Ranger.
It
easy.
Okay, Frank, it's your show back.
What?
You can have your show back now.
No, it's okay.
No, you can have your show back now.
He wants it back.
No Indian giving.
Oh, Frank's, okay. Frank's opened a bottle of wine.
No, no wine tonight. No wine tonight.
Okay.
I'm drinking straight water.
Oh, good for you. Fire water, right?
No, straight water. Real water.
Aw.
So, Frank, are you going to make the playoff game? Are you going to? Are we going to see you at our playoff game?
What day is it?
It's a Sunday.
Perfect. Yeah, I can come. I'll be
3 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be there. Where do you want me to meet you?
Badali's.
Okay, I'll meet you at Badali's. Okay. How long before the game? Half an hour? 45 minutes?
No. We'll be there at noon.
Oh, okay.
So get there anytime between noon and 2:30. That goes for everyone listening, all the thousands and millions of listeners.
And Aaron's friends.
Yes. And the roadies. I posted on the roadies, so maybe we got a few there, too.
All right. Let's. Okay, now that we've discussed what it's like to be a Toronto fan versus an Ottawa fan, a Hamilton fan in the CFL, we've come to the realization, if I can summarize that half-hour dissertation, we've decided that in Toronto our hands are tied in having a good time. In Hamilton, it's been refined over the years.
Yeah, we had our growing pains, that's for sure.
And that refining process, I think it's too late to jump on board with that because between you and I, this is just an opinion on my part, with the advent of, drinking and driving being a very uncool thing.
And with
a counselor being arrested for drunk driving, politically speaking in the city of Toronto, there is no drinking. And I think that's the way the police look at it. And as John said, you can't give people a hard time about it. The only way to have any tailgating now is as you do it with the Toronto Rock, and that is find a legal establishment that is willing to open their doors to you and offer you a modicum of respect for being who you are and offer you some forms of discounts, which, can offset the cost of – because it's very cheap to tailgate the right way.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Real tailgating.
That's why you do it.
Real tailgating isn't that expensive, and we're talking about cost. Drinking in a legal establishment's a little more expensive than drinking, as you referred to it, out of the trunk of your car. Eating and... But having said that, I will be there, and I will be prepared to support The Rock in their endeavor to win another championship, step one being their first playoff game. Aaron, give us a pre-cap of what to expect game one playoff time from The Rock. I know we can't guarantee their opposition, but what can we talk about as far as The Rock and how they're moving into that game?
Well, The Rock have one hurdle to really major hurdle to get over as it currently stands. They need to go into Philly tomorrow and win. Philadelphia is one of those teams that makes me nervous because they're hot and cold. One day they can light you up, the next day they can absolutely suck, you know, and it's tough. But with a little luck, they'll be able to they'll be able to get a favorable first round match. If they win in Philadelphia, like I said, they lock up home floor advantage for the entire playoffs, which would be absolutely awesome because it means I won't have to travel, provided they win.
That would be nice.
Oh God, that would be beautiful, wouldn't it? I mean, as it currently stands, I think we're looking at a potential matchup. If Toronto seals up first, going to be looking at a matchup between Toronto and more than likely the Colorado Mammoth or the Minnesota Swarm. So that's going to be interesting. The Western Division right now is deadlocked. We got Calgary, Edmonton, and Washington all at 8-6, followed by Colorado and Minnesota at 6-8.
Now, Aaron, Colorado doesn't scare me as much as Minnesota does. Minnesota poses as more of a run-and-gun offensive threat as far as I'm concerned, but you might have more exposure to Colorado than I do.
The two teams that actually scare me the most on that side of it are Minnesota and Edmonton.
Those are legitimate contenders.
Not in me. As it currently stands in our division, Toronto's 10-5, Rochester's 6-7, Philadelphia is currently 6-8, and Buffalo, well, Buffalo's 5-9, so we don't have to worry about that, and the crossover rule comes into effect, so it's the top 8. Buffalo's out, which means Darius will probably be seeking new employment.
Dan Teat's optimistic they're gonna do well, but they're on a 17-hour flight out to their game as we speak. So
ouch.
I don't know. They're taking the milk run, right? I was talking to one of the coaches of the Buffalo Bandits yesterday, and they got a long day today. So it could be. I'd like to see them give it a shot, but not so much.
So they're taking the red eye, you said?
Yeah, well, they're taking the milk run, right? So Dan said he's got a half a dozen stops there, so.
Yeah, because thank goodness they've only got one game because they're out playing the stealth.
Yeah.
So, all right.
We'll see.
No, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But, I mean, the keys to what we're going to see from Toronto is they're going to have to bang it and slow everything down. Doesn't really matter who they play. Chances and odds are they are going to end up playing Minnesota first. They're going to have to bang, and they're going to have to slow them down as much as they possibly can. Otherwise,
yeah,
it's one and done.
Yeah, yeah.
I think anybody wants to see that. I mean, we split the series with them during the season.
Yeah.
Beat them here. They beat us there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and what they have to do is we have to see the same brand of lacrosse that we've seen the past couple games where – you know, body be damned. They're just throwing it around like left, right, and center, and it's a really exciting brand of lacrosse. Gets a little sloppy once in a while, but that gets your heart going. But at the same time, you know, Nick Rose in the past couple games, he's seeing the ball better, and he's stopping. That's the goalie of the Toronto Rock. He's seeing the ball a lot better, and he's cutting off his angles even better than he already was. I was speaking with Garrett Billings after the game, and you know, people complain that he barely moves, but he's an angle goalie, you know, and he's a big guy, so he sets it up so they don't have much to shoot at.
No, he's definitely the blocking type. It's just the way that he's built, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's just built that way. It's not there. Let's be honest with ourselves. He's never going to be a reaction goalie like Dallas Elliott. He's never going to be a goalie that's going to run the floor like Tom Beardmore did for the Washington Wave. He's not one of those kinds of goalies that's going to be everywhere and as mobile as, say, a Cosmo or even a Roik, for that matter.
That's just the way he is.
No, exactly. And people don't see the 30 or 40 stops that he makes every game just because where he's supposed to be, because they don't look spectacular, you know.
Yeah.
He cuts the angles. He comes out and challenges when he needs to. They don't see that because he's doing his job just so effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I agree, my friend.
That makes it kind of interesting. It'll be interesting for sure.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, when you look at it now, he's played 844 minutes on the season. He's played 15 games. He's faced over 700 shots on goal. And he's got a goals against average of 10.66. You know?
And what's that mean in English?
791. That's pretty amazing.
What does that mean in English for people who are numerically challenged?
Well, put it this way. He's facing an average of about 45 to 47 shots a game.
Yeah.
And of those 45 to 47 shots, he's stopping 80% of them.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty amazing.
You can look at that's pretty freaking spectacular.
Yeah.
That's a lacrosse spectacular.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Let's be ready. I don't. I in my short years as a fan, I've never seen a shutout in professional lacrosse ever. I've never even heard of a shutout in lacrosse.
The closest we ever got to a shutout was actually a playoff game against Philadelphia. Toronto beat them 13-2. That's about as close as you're actually going to get.
That's about as close you're going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to help Jared understand the math, in a hockey game, let's say the average goal scoring for both teams is about maybe 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Especially now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially now. So goalies, like, for example, the Leaf goalie, Reimer, is at 933, 93.3% saves. But remember, they get about as many shots. Well, is it about the same amount of shots, Aaron? Help me out on this.
You get about 5 shots a game in hockey. You get about 45 to 50 in lacrosse.
Okay. So 80% is due to the fact that they score upwards on average in total 30 to 40 goals a game, right? Both teams.
Pretty much. Well,
right?
But
It's safe to say it's between 14 and 25 goals a game. You'll see that, you know, the 12 to 13 games, the 10 to 14 games, that kind of stuff. That's common.
But you're going to see at least 20 goals in a game. 25,
yep.
At least 25 goals in an average game. We're talking average, not the 14-2 debacle for Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, right? What you're also looking at, too, and a lot of people don't take this into account, is with hockey, all of the shots come from the same place.
Yeah.
And that's off the ice. Stick makes contact, puck comes off ice. That's pretty much
one-dimensional.
Yep. You look at. And that's not to take anything away from hockey goalies, because you know what they do is tough.
Well, let's put it this way. What game was it I was watching where a player batted the puck near the net out of midair? You know, but that's only like 2 feet or 3 feet from the goal line.
And he was a lacrosse player, like a Neuendijk or something like that. They attribute those fine motor skills and gross motor skills and that kind of stuff. Those guys were all the Shanahans, all of them. They played. They were big in lacrosse. And look at Tavares. His uncle is a legend in lacrosse. Tavares, who plays for, what's he play for? The Islanders. Big lacrosse player. He was upset when he got signed by the OHL that he couldn't play summer lacrosse.
Well,
now, what's actually really funny is John Tavares' line mate in New York, the name of Matt Mole.
Hey, guys, I wasn't satisfied. You were on a really good point there on how goalies have to put up.
Sorry.
Let's not leave that just yet.
Let's get back to that then. When you look at hockey, like I said, not to take anything away from hockey goalies, it all comes off the ice. When it comes to lacrosse, that ball is coming from everywhere.
Remember, the ball bounces where the puck does not. So it's not only that a guy can shoot.
Well, unless it's all Crosby's face. Sorry, I was going to miss that one.
A guy in lacrosse can shoot from, let's say, I'm going to do some math here, anywhere between 8 and 10 feet in the air, right?
Yeah.
To from the ground, right? And then in between, you've got the bouncing ball as well. And the speed of the shots in lacrosse, people might find this hard to believe, but are as hard as in hockey.
Just as a side note to this, when it comes to the hardness of shot, Paul Rabil from the Philadelphia Wings was clocked at a Philadelphia Phillies game at 111 miles an hour.
And how far does the guy who wins the shooting contest in the All-Star game, Chara, 101, something like that, I think, 103, right?
Yep.
So we're talking about an object that does not come from, like, even when they, we'll put it this way, the weirdest thing for hockey is a knuckleball when a guy hits a puck that's on edge. That's the weirdest shot that comes out of goalie or a backhand. They talk, you know, in the old days, Keon and the like would throw a lot of backhands at goalies. Today, if you know how to shoot a backhand, you're pretty guaranteed to get a couple of goals because nobody knows how to do it now. So goalies, and in hockey, look at goalies, what goalies do today. What they do is they protect the bottom of the net. That's basically what they're told to do. Yeah, you watch all the new goalies now, they go toe to post. Yeah. Now, if you did that in lacrosse, there'd be an average of 200 goals a game.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Especially with the pads they wear.
It is true, though, when you look at hockey scores today, the majority of the plays that you see, the goals that you see these days, are guys muscling it past the goalies. You've got these roid monkeys on the blue line cranking out the slap shots at the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much what you're going to see. There's not a lot of fancy footwork anymore. There's not a lot of, to be quite frank, there's not a lot of body control. Like Jared said, if you know how to shoot a backhand, oh, dude. Like, that's a whole new level. But you look at these lacrosse players, and you see guys switching hands on the fly. You see moves like the Twister and the Tornado. You see guys pulling air gates from behind the net, diving through the crease. Like
Between the legs, behind the back.
Oh.
Like, just crazy stuff.
One of Colin Doyle's goals against Rochester in Rochester made the Sports Center top 10. I believe it was the 7th or 6th play. He got the ball and then actually tucked it back between his own legs to pop it past Vince.
And it wasn't a garbage goal either. See, the thing is with these guys, when they're shooting like that, like the Billings shot behind the back, top corner right over on the goalie's weak side, and the goalie didn't see it. So these guys are skilled players banging off this stuff. I mean, desperation? Yeah, sometimes. But they got the stick skills, man. That's what makes the game so much fun.
Oh, it's the surprise plays. It's the I didn't see that coming plays.
Yeah.
Let me add this to the thing about goaltending and what makes it, which is easier to score and what does a goaltender have to contend with more. I mean, imagine if they erased the circle around the net.
Oh.
Because in hockey, that's what Aaron's talking about, is there is no circle around the net.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not familiar with lacrosse, you cannot have your body on terra firma in the crease around the net, which happens to be almost a full 360-degree circle. So,
yeah, it's 9'3".
You can dive through it.
Yeah, you can dive through it, but it's a 9'3" cone of – basically, it's the cone of death. You enter that and you hit the goalie, you're fair game.
And help us with the definition now. So you dive, it's like a play, it's the opposite of football players, right? As long as his feet are outside the crease when he takes off and before he hits the ground with any part of his body, he shoots the ball, it's good.
That is correct. As long as no part of you is touching the ground inside the crease before the ball goes into the net, then you're okay.
Ah, before the ball goes into the net.
In other words, put it this way. If you're diving through the crease and you drag a toe, and that toe is still on the ground and the ball goes into the net, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
And so you have to be in flight enough for the ball to be in the net.
That's correct.
Flying like a bird.
There you go. So now imagine if they eliminated that circle. So the deafness of the shooting is obvious. It's self-explanatory by virtue of that rule. Actually, that's a rule that I'd like to see in hockey. Along with shrinking the goalie pads.
Well, they did try that whole, you know, not allowed in the crease thing, but so many people got upset with it. And then there was, of course, there was that famous Brett Hull goal that shouldn't have counted but did to help the Stars win the Cup. But I'm not going to get into that because it's still a sore point with me.
Too late. You got into it. You went there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just an example of them trying to switch the rules, and it didn't quite work.
Well, the whole point is that just like in lacrosse, you have to establish the place where the goalie can at least try to make the save.
This is true.
Right? There's got to be an area where the goalie has every chance to make the save. I was watching a Leaf game the other day, and Nash skated right into Reimer. You know, and I've seen them call that as a penalty, that you can't make contact with the goalie even if you're trying to score. Because in the process of trying to score, if you're interfering with him, you know what I mean? Like, you can't grab his arm. Just, I'm exaggerating here, right? But if you go to make a deke and you grab the goalie and pull him away from the opening, you know what I'm saying? Because you can do that. Physically, you could do that. And you could backhand it into the net. That, you know, how is that fair? Right? So, you know, but in hockey, they're suffering for goals. That's one thing that you don't with lacrosse. If you love goals, you'll love lacrosse. And some are of the spectacular variety.
The funny thing is they've been trying harder and harder and harder each and every year to make it easier to score.
And is it working?
I mean, 4 foot by 4 foot, now they're 4 foot by 4'9".
Is it getting better? Are there more goals?
No, not necessarily. You're still seeing pretty much the same scores as you saw in years past.
Yeah.
So.
But imagine how many fewer goals there would be if they didn't make that change, Aaron. You have to look at it that way as well, right?
Here's the thing. When they expanded the goals, they also said the goalie gear could get bigger.
Yeah, but you see, then you're just defeating. What you're doing is you're basically.
It used to be a 4 foot by 4 foot six wide goal, and the goalie equipment could come 3.5 inches off your body. They went the following year to a 4 foot by 4 foot nine, and they made the goalie gear come out 5 inches from the body. So, you know, okay, great. You made the net 3 inches wider, but you also made the goalies 3 inches wider.
And so, the goalies are pretty wide to begin with, and I don't mean that personally.
Bob Watson was a pretty skinny dude.
Yeah, if you met Bob out of his goalie equipment, you'd say, no.
Really?
Now, Nick Rose, not so much, but yeah.
You know, they look a lot like mascots.
The goalies.
The goalies in lacrosse look a lot more like a mascot.
Like a bit of a bobblehead, eh? But you know what? I would want that much padding for that mofo and ball coming at you at the speed it does. And talk about crash the crease. Holy doodle. I mean, and the other thing, unlike hockey, the goalie can come out of the crease and play live. I've seen a goalie carry the ball past half in lacrosse. I've seen him
take part in the power play.
Yeah, it's crazy.
One of the most spectacular hits I ever saw was by a goalie.
Me too, Aaron. I know where you're going.
No, and it wasn't Watson on Pollock either.
Oh, okay.
It was Corey Quinn on Glenn Clark.
No.
Yeah, and they put Corey Quinn in the box for Buffalo for 5 minutes.
Funny.
It was awesome.
So it wasn't a legal hit then?
Oh, no, it was a perfectly legal hit.
So oh, why did you put him in the box?
Well, you see what happened was Corey came all the way out to the restraining line. Glenn was looking behind him for the ball that Watson had thrown up for him, and he caught the ball and turned around, and Corey was there. Now, they used a section of the rule book that's not normally touched upon, and that's interference with a fast break. Corey's feet were planted. If you see the video review, he was planted. He wasn't moving, and Glenn literally ran into him. But the referees decided to call it impeding of a fast break and gave him 5 points. He took his helmet off and pretty much knocked him out. Watson didn't get a penalty for charging Craig Pollock a year and a half later. Sean Pollock, sorry, from Minnesota. Pollock caught the ball and was running down the floor, and Watson came running out of the goal. He came about 60 feet to cream him. But
wow.
Watson, penalty because he's on the home team. Quinn got the penalty because he was with the Bandits.
Wow.
Yeah. There's no bias.
None at all, eh?
No, there's no such thing as a home floor advantage.
We might have a guest on here, guys. I'm just chatting with Nick Rose. Just came online on my Facebook page, and I'm inviting him to the show.
Well, tell him to just leave his number, and I'll call him.
I will.
He's only got about 4 minutes.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I believe he's from the West, so you might be talking to family right now. So I don't want to interrupt him too much.
I'll just tell him to give us 4 minutes, and then he can talk to his family. Rose is the goaltender for the...
Oh, you don't want much, do you?
Rose is the goaltender for the Toronto Rock, for the fans that are out there. Yeah, see if you can get him on. It'd be very interesting, especially since we were just talking about his position.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm letting him know.
Okay, so we'll carry on, Aaron, while he takes care of that. Now,
sure.
Now, the big thing this year with the Argos is that they're going to be playing a game at Varsity Stadium.
Get out of here. When?
They're playing the exhibition game against Montreal. The first exhibition game here in Toronto against Montreal will be at Varsity Stadium.
Now, that should be fun.
Now, the reason I mention that is, you know, every week we talk about this, and I think we should continue the conversation. Now, there's the Argos thinking, obviously, of a different venue. They're floating it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that already got shot down, Frank.
No, I understand. I understand. But the fact that they're there, it means that whoever doesn't want it there has said, okay, we'll give it a shot, in my opinion.
Kind of a litmus test, eh?
Absolutely. Now, the reason I mention this is because we've discussed, you know, the rough road that, you know, lacrosse has in Canada because, you know, they don't get the kind of respect like the Argos and like the CFL, like the other teams, because for whatever reason, they're not corporate owned. They don't sell out, you know. I don't know if selling out's really a requirement, but I think you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And the financial business plan really does require you to have more control and a far better ownership position or an ownership position when it comes to the stadium that you use.
Yeah.
And the Argos are testing that out. We discussed that if Markham gets a hockey arena, would they be willing to move the franchise? Have your opinions changed since we had this conversation?
Rico or Markham?
And, you know, personally, I think Rico would be better.
Well, don't forget, Rico is actually only about 8,000 seats.
I understand that, but you could charge a little more and create, you know, that supply and demand thing. And I don't think it would be a bad thing if they went to Rico. Having said that, we've got to compare apples with apples. Going to Rico isn't the same as going to Markham.
The other thing is, as well, Frank, the NLL mandates that you have to have a stadium with a minimum of, I believe it's 12,000 seats.
Yeah.
So Rico's
10,000, isn't it, Aaron? 10,000? Because Rochester's only 10.
Well, Rochester, I think, was grandfathered.
Grandfathered, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Their arena's even smaller than that, I think. I think the most that they can fit in there is maybe 10,500 with standing only.
Yeah, yeah.
That they were definitely grandfathered in for that. And that joint.
The other thing, I don't know if you heard me gasp in horror like a schoolgirl when you said maybe we'd charge more for tickets. What the Rock have to keep in mind, and the management has to remember this, they are a blue-collar team. And once they get the stands filled with blue-collar fans and they get the television contract, then maybe you'll see this team go to another level in terms of ticket pricing. But right now, they can't, whether it's an 8,000-seat stadium or a 17,000-seat stadium, as far as I'm concerned, they're shooting themselves in the foot if they go above their price point right now, because this is what we can afford as fans, and we're blue collar from the bottom of the blue collar spectrum to the top of the blue collar spectrum, and you know, and that's why we are the way we are at the games when we're cheering more and standing up more than the suits at the Leafs games.
Well, the only reason I mention that, and I'm not going to take it back, because I believe that that rolls into a business plan. I'm not talking
exactly,
as a
Frank.
Fan. I'm not talking as a fan, and I'm not talking, you know, I'm talking as a business plan. If they were to go to the RICO, they would have no other option but to charge more for the tickets because, you know, the supply and the demand would be such.
Absolutely.
But I have to say this, and this is something I'm only saying because I believe this to be true, and I'm only surmising, and I don't know this for a fact. But if they fill the RICO, if they fill RICO and they have the kind of fan exuberance and excitement, it would be a place that's rocking because.
Oh, wouldn't it be fun?
I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying, right? Cause,
it would be fun. It would be awesome.
A full venue with full excitement is far more breathtaking than a better venue half filled or partially
kinda
filled.
Kind of like the Montreal Alouettes formula that's worked, you know, pretty much up to this point, right?
And it's the Boston Red Sox formula. Don't think that they couldn't sell more than 34,000 tickets.
Wow, is that all that's out of Boston Red Sox?
34 or 36. It's not.
Wow.
It's not even 40. I don't think. Mind you, they did do renovations. They might have kicked her up to 40, but it isn't that much. When you consider, believe me or not, I think they could sell 50,000 tickets easy.
Yeah.
Easy. The Yankees are what are the Yankees doing? 55 at the new Yankee Stadium? 60, whatever it is, something like that, 50 or so?
Yeah.
You know, Boston's not far behind.
When you starve the market like that, I mean, that's the one way to guarantee that everything looks awesome on television as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's the business model with the Ticats, too. You know, they didn't go with a bigger stadium. They went with a smaller one.
It's much better to fill the stadium and give the, you know, that's the biggest handicap the Argos have, is they can't fill the 50,000-seat stadium.
Yeah. And the Rock used to fill the stadium. He used to fill the ACC.
Yeah,
well, that was the Titan trailer guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Titan trailer guy?
Yeah.
I don't get
it. In 2005, 2006, Waters got away from the Rock, and there was a gentleman by the name of Mike Klopfer that took over. That summer, and Eddie Como became the new head coach. Colin Doyle disappeared for a couple of years to Washington. Cosmo went. A whole bunch of other guys, some of the guys that were cornerstones of the team, disappeared. You know, subpar seasons, that sort of thing. That's the Titan trailer era, the Mike Klopfer era. We don't remember it fondly.
Yeah.
I guess you don't. Just so you know, we're well past our end time.
Ah, crap.
No, it's okay. We're still on the air. They haven't turned us off yet. They haven't turned the lights off yet. But having said that, you know, it truly is an interesting, you know, theory to apply when it comes to a city like Toronto that has, you know, all but two stadiums. Not that, you know, I feel that we should be entitled to many more, but it just seems like, I really think RICO could have been a bigger stadium. But because it was originally, you know, it just got refurbished. The building just was refurbished. That's all that happened. It was the Coliseum, I think, wasn't it?
Yep. It was the old Horse Palace.
Yeah, the Coliseum.
Yeah.
The Horse Palace. Yeah, exactly. You know, so, you know, they had whatever size. I really do believe they made a mistake. But, you know, nobody cares in this town when it comes to sports. And, you know, it's only about making profits, not making plans.
Yeah.
You know.
And, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment has a monopoly on everything. They could have kept Maple Leaf Gardens going as a smaller venue, but nothing is allowed. The Rock played the last professional championship game in that venue, and they won it. They're the last team to go, but they could have kept playing there, but then they moved. They said, nope, we're shutting it down. No other events are going to take place in this venue, and they went to the ACC.
Other than Battle of the Blades.
Yes.
And we all know how it turned out.
Yeah, well, it'll always turn out that way. So we don't have a a stadium that's 10 or 12,000 people. That would fit a lot of different other sports as well, coincidentally, like arena football, indoor soccer. And whether the indoor soccer is extremely popular or not isn't the issue. But again, you know,
I gotta tell you, Toronto, like U of T, is not a sports town. Toronto is an event town. It's a jump on the bandwagon town. Like, it's a Leaf town. It's a hockey town. You bring anything else in, and it's not the Leafs. I brought the Grey Cup to my school. I was the only teacher in the Toronto District School Board to bring the Grey Cup to my school. And one of the staff there said, well, it's not the Stanley Cup. And I'm like, wow, you're really negligent. And like, that's her prerogative. But to be so negligent and so just belligerent towards Canadian sports history, you know, Torontonians don't care. They just want to be on top. You know, and
Let's try a different term. They want to be where it's cool.
Yeah, yeah. They're an event people, right?
Toronto.
And it troubles me because the Argos, you know, yeah, they've had bad years, but it's great football. But it's
awesome
Canadian.
Football.
Yeah, it's Canadian. Is it the Rock play the best lacrosse in the world? But it's Canadian. You know, and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment don't own it. But, geez, if Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment own it, well, then we'll have to go. Like, look at the Lemmings going to the TFC games. That's not good soccer. It's not. It's not. You know, but here, the team that's playing the best in the world, playing the best at the highest level, and do we get any media attention except a one-second bit or, you know, something on the top 10 of a sports thing because of a bizarre shot or, an incredible collision or a bench-clearing brawl. That's not respect for the game. That's not respect for a Canadian game.
Unfortunately, Jarrett, I'm going to help you out a little bit. The whole manifestation of TSN2, Sportsnet 1, 3, 4, 5. You know, the reason they
existed was
they were going to their mandate that they guaranteed with the CRTC is that they were going to give more sports an opportunity to be, you know, viewed.
Yeah.
You know, widen the, and also drag along Canadian sports as well.
Yeah.
They've done
God forbid, they've
done woefully poor as far as the CFL is concerned.
Yeah.
So poorly that they forced the CFL to pay for airtime, right? The same thing's true for the Toronto Rock. And I don't believe they've met their mandate. And that mandate was something that they went with their hats in their hand to the CRTC and said, we need these extra channels because we need – it's like music television, right? We wish to promote Canadian talent. And then once they get the license, you know, unless it's a Canadian that's popular in the U.S., you're not going to see them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the sad story. You know, that's the sad story.
Now, TSN apparently negotiated for a not NFL caliber, like not the American caliber, but we don't have the same population. But apparently there was an adequate television contract with TSN agreed for another, 3 or 4 or 5 years?
Yep, with the CFL.
Yeah, but at one time, yeah. And you know, when I tell fans that The Rock pay for the airtime on TSN, some people don't believe it.
So do the CFL. Are you not aware of that?
They still pay. I thought they had an agreement to get paid for games.
I'm not sure about that. The last I heard, they were still paying for airtime.
Oh, because I heard a contract. TSN is going to broadcast so many things this year, and the league, they had a contract agreement for, I want to say, $40
million. Oh, okay. Well, good. Well, then, good. I hope I'm wrong. I truly hope I'm wrong. No, I hope I'm wrong. And they wanted exclusivity in as far as radio is concerned.
Yeah, they got it. They got all
right?
that stuff.
They got all that exclusivity and all that wonderful stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if they're paying good for the CFL, that's all I can say. And I hope, you know, the advantage the CFL has over the NLL is the strength of the Canadian teams and the Canadian, and that's the irony here, isn't it? It's the strength of the fact that it is a bona fide Canadian league.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Rock and the NNL has a little bit of a handicap that the American teams that are in are now, this is going to be reverse prejudice now. I'm going to sound like an American when an American says, why should we have a team in Hamilton? Where's Hamilton in hockey?
Yeah.
You know, and then we're talking about Rochester and Albany and you know what I'm getting at, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it makes it less attractive because they're not the New Yorks, Chicagos, and LAs of the world, right?
And you know what's funny, Frank? Is still 90 to 95% of the players on all those teams are Canadian.
Well, that's the irony.
In Rochester, in Seattle, in Washington, in Philly, they're Canadian. The guys who play summer ball and are Canadian kids from Ontario and British Columbia.
And isn't that the problem, is that they don't get the same kind of respect? And that's what worries me, is that, you know, it obviously is a Canadian game. Loved by Canadians. I mean, the only people that love lacrosse, is it possible only people who love lacrosse are people who play? You know what I mean? Like, that's
what
it
feels like.
Yeah, but
I never played minor lacrosse.
No, I get that. I get what you're saying. But I'm just, I guess, because, you know, with football, there are actually people who love the game of football, Canadian football, who've never played.
Yeah.
A lot of the people who go to the games, you know, whereas I think in lacrosse, I think we find that mostly, you know, the youngsters that go play or parents of kids who play, there's a real close connection between the fans and the game in lacrosse more than there is in other sports, I think.
But what grows the game of lacrosse fundamentally, they can market out the wazoo, but it's guys like Aaron and me and the roadies who bring their friends and say, you know, we bring them under the premise that it's a good party and we'll drink some beers. And then people say, this is a really exciting game. And they're hooked. I've taken probably 500 people to games. But I've only had one person look at me and say, this isn't indoor soccer. And it's like, no, it's not. Why did you think it was? Because I never said it was.
I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, like, okay, so 499 love it and one doesn't. Okay, goodbye. You know,
what
that's
are you
your choice.
Do?
That's your, you know, yeah. Well, I mean, you get just like, you know, you, most of the people when I go to an Argo game, I hear Box J Boys because I'm wearing at least my shirt. But I tend to put on the stuff now. But 90% of it, but you always get one that says, you know, arsehole or you know whatever like that, and I just like have a nice day and I keep walking. It's going to happen. Can't make everybody happy.
Hey, how long do you think they'll let me go on the air here? Because I'm already 13 minutes over.
I don't
sorry,
know.
23 minutes over.
Let's go for a new record. What do you think? I'm out
of
beer.
We already hit the new record, and Aaron's not saying anything. It's about time he started carrying some of his own.
I don't feel like Upton. It's just rude.
Okay.
See,
so now
we were talking to each other at Bedali's. I mean, overdraft after the game, because we could point to each other and say, go.
That was awesome.
Well, you can't. The way you do that here is you go, Aaron?
Yes. Aaron?
Yes, Frank.
Over
yes,
to you.
Hot potato.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, we were talking. I didn't hear any input from you on moving to a different stadium. What were your feelings on that?
Well, the problem that I have with that is right now where the stadium is absolutely perfect. Because you have fans from Oshawa, Whitby, Peterborough. You have fans from Barrie. You have fans from Markham, Mississauga. All of them take the GO train in or take major highways in. And that central hub is the Air Canada Centre. That's it. If you move from there and you put it up in Markham, guarantee you're going to lose fans.
One thing you're going to lose for sure is me, because I like to join the roadies at Bedali's, and I don't drink and drive.
We are TTC pushers. We really want don't want anyone to drink
and I'm a GO Train pusher. I think the GO Train's one of the greatest
TTC.
Things. The GO Train and wives, they really help.
Yes, yes.
They really help keep the party alive.
Yes.
Especially wives that don't drink.
or at least knows the subway system.
Well,
honey, we missed the stop again. It's okay. We'll just go back.
I think it's time to say goodnight, guys.
I think we missed the stop, Frank. Aaron,
here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what happens if you don't know how it works here. At some point, they turned us off, but in the replay, this will be on the replay.
Oh, cool. Perfect.
Right. So there's some people going. They got cut off in the middle of talking. But meanwhile, we're still going on, and the replay will, I believe, have all this on it. It's been a real pleasure, guys. You make the Fridays really interesting. Friday's a tough time. But, Jarrett, would you do me this favor, both of you, Jarrett and Aaron? There are a couple of people before the season's over I'd like to have on the show. One is Bruce Barker. Now, we'll do that when we do a live segment from there. Maybe I'm ready to try it. I got my new phone. I've worked out how to do it with the tablet, and we'll be able to do a post game, and maybe even that Sunday we're talking about.
So, Frank, what phone did you get?
BlackBerry Z10.
Oh, you got the Z? Okay, I thought you were going to wait for the Q to come out.
No, I'm not. I'm okay with this one.
Yeah.
What I really wanted was the Samsung. Samsung. The Note 2, the Galaxy Note 2, the bigger phone. And I can actually do the show off that phone. I can't do it with the BlackBerry because the BlackBerry is so security conscious. It won't let me go into this program.
Nice.
Interesting.
And I kind of – that's not a bad thing because I can use my tablet to do the show. And I can use the phone to maybe be able to add an extra caller, like a microphone, right?
That could work.
Right?
Cool.
So we'll do that for the first playoff game.
So, Frank, okay. I can try and get you, I can put you in touch with the team, but the Toronto Rock do not want anyone speaking on their behalf except the Toronto Rock. That's why, again, Aaron and I are fans of The Rock. We are not employees in any way of The Rock.
Yeah.
I can put you in touch with...
Do you think I'd be wasting my time going... See, the way I do it with the Argos, here's the way it works with the Argos. We should talk about this off the air, but I don't mind people knowing how this works. I have respect for the Toronto Argonauts to the extent that if I know a player wants to be interviewed and be on the show, I ask their permission.
You mean the player or the Rock?
Hmm?
You mean the player or the Rock?
No, the way I would handle the Rock is the way I handle...
Sorry, you ask the Argo player or you ask the Argos?
I ask the Argo player. Like, if I run into an Argo player, whatever, because because of what I do, I run into them, right, as an avid fan. And I say, would you like to be on the show? And they also Facebook message me and say, hey, can I be on your show? The first thing I do is I say, absolutely. But if you don't mind, I got to check with the office first. And I have my contact within the Argos responsible for publicity and such. And I say, may I invite X player on the show? And they say, okay.
Off the air, I can give you the person.
Yeah, we'll do that after, and I'll call the person, and I'll say, if I happen to find somebody that's willing to be on the show, I'll ask you first. You know, in other words, we want to have somebody on that we want to have on, right, that we feel would be interesting for the fans, right? And that would be the process is they play for the team. We show the team the respect of asking them first and saying, you know, we would like to interview them and have them on the show. Is there anything you want me to know before I have them on the show? Give the team every opportunity to protect their image, although they have nothing to worry about, because we'll all be on our best behavior. Right, Jared?
Oh, of course.
Can't you hear my halo and wings through the phone?
No, you know what I mean. So, like, I'm just having fun with it too. But at the end,
just don't talk to us about their post game party.
No. We would be talking about the way I handle everything I do is non-TSN, non-Sportsnet. You know what I do is I talk about the game, and the game's the most important thing. And that's what I like to talk about is the game. When I talk to the boys about lacrosse, I'll be talking about how they got into it, why they liked it, why they stayed in it, what did they get from it. I'm not talking financially, right? They can say that if they wish, but that's what I like because I think the fans out there want to get to know the players more than, you know, do you have three girlfriends or four? Do you think a $2 million contract's better than a $1 million contract? I think the fans hear about that enough. I think what the fans want to know is, I want to know what this guy's about. So that's what I want to know. So I think I'm looking at it as a fan, and that's how I like to interview the football players as well. And it has standed me in good stead, you know, so far, and I think it will continue to do so. You know, it doesn't matter how many people listen tonight. It's out there, and people will get a chance to listen to it, and through time they will listen to it. And the way to listen for you guys is all they have to do is type in your name, Aaron William Friedland or Jared Harris. And it doesn't matter where you are, what search engine you're using, this show will come up. You don't even have to put the show on.
Well, that's just crazy.
Yeah. There you go. So when somebody wants to know something about you, one of the first things that's going to come up is your Blog Talk Radio appearance.
Okay, so just delete the one show that I had a bottle of 40 Creek beside me, and I'll be happy.
Oh, heck. Oh, that goes down in the annals of history, Jared. It's on the internet.
Don't say annals in my name in the same sentence.
No. Annals, not anals.
Sorry.
Are we going to want to delete this show now?
No. It's all good. Hey, I have an obituary I need to read you guys.
It's
pretty serious. I'm sorry, but again, the entertainment world has lost someone very sad, very important. So please join me in remembering yet another great icon of the entertainment community. The Pillsbury Doughboy died yesterday of a yeast infection and traumatic complications from being repeatedly poked in the belly. He was 71 years old. Doughboy is survived by his wife, Play Dough. His three children, John Doe, Jane Doe, and the little-known Dill Doe. Please. Plus, they had one in the oven. Service will be held at 3:50 for about 20 minutes.
There you go.
Thanks very much.
At 3:50.
Yeah, all I have to say about that is, no!
No! You know, there's one thing I could say about that. Baked.
Yes.
Somebody was baked. All right, guys, listen, it was a pleasure. You make every Friday very interesting. And, if we can get some rock players on, it would be great. Even Bruce Barker would be nice to have Bruce Barker on, the voice of the Toronto Rock.
Well, Aaron might be able to work his magic there, but off air I'll give you the contact name.
Yeah, you can email me that stuff or you know, Facebook it, and we'll move forward. I'll remind the listeners at home today that come Monday, I'll be having Corey Boyd on again. Corey has put together a little Corey Boyd thing, and we're going to talk about that Corey Boyd thing. He's a former Hamilton Tiger Cat. Edmonton Eskimo, Toronto Argonaut. And we'll be talking about that on Monday.
You got Ticats in the brain, Frank. Oh, pretty soon we're going to bring you over to the black and gold, buddy. And since it's Ticat Friday, Oski Wee Wee, Oski Wawa, Go Rock Go, Holy Mackinac.
Go ahead, do it all, buddy. Do it all. Oh. Do it all.
Now, Oski Wee Wee, Oski Wawa, Holy Mackinac, Tigers, eat 'em raw.
Is that what they do?
On
Wednesday, I'll be having an Argonaut on, and his name is Mike Bradwell, a Canadian receiver.
I've heard of Mike.
Yep.
Good guy.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. And he'll be on Wednesday, for those of you that are interested. All right, everyone, real pleasure with you guys again, and we'll see everybody another time.
Hopefully we'll see you next Friday, Frank.
Hey, Yeah, yeah, yeah. And don't worry about the time, buddy.
Okay.
Aaron, it's all good, man.
All right.
Right, buddy?
I was indulging my lacrosse habit.
You do what you ever have to do, sir. Your time is always welcome on here, as it is with Jarrett. And I know Jarrett likes when you're here as well because he feels as though you're a part of his demeanor.
Yes, he is. He is the meathead to the grand poobah. He is the encyclopedia of knowledge, while I am the he's the play-by-play coordinator, and I'm the color commentator.
There you go. Yes. You're the commentator.
Yes. You are the Harry Neal to my Joe Bowen.
Yes, he is the commentator to Aaron's special tater.
Oh,
okay, see you later, boys.
Take care, guys.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.